All right, we're going to switch gears, and Patrick Doyle's in the house. He heads up Veritas Counseling, and he's here to take your phone calls. You don't need an appointment. And the number is 776-5368. If you want to remain anonymous, we'll respect that request as well. 776-5368 or toll-free everywhere else at 1-800-373-5368. Patrick Doyle, local area counselor here on Tuesdays, and all-around cool guy. And so what are we dealing with today? Where's God? He's over there.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk today about, the question, where is God? You know, I've been listening to the radio a lot lately, and there's a lot of questions about the election and a lot of questions about our economy. And mm-hmm. then I know a lot of situations personally where people are in real difficult situations. People are suffering. They're having difficulty in their marriage. They're having physical, medical problems. They have problems with their children. There's lots of things going on. And the question I often get asked is, where is God?
Yeah, where is he? How come he didn't show up for me?
Yeah, why, if he's so loving and he's so good, why all this trauma? Why all this difficulty? Why all this hurt? Why all this disobedience? Why all this lack of rest? Mm-hmm. Where is he?
Yeah.
Is he in it? Is he just gone asleep? Is he? I've heard it mentioned many times recently that God's done with America. He's abandoned us. He's sick of the sin. Mm-hmm. And I would say this. First of all, if you're God's child, he's right there. Now, you might not be able to see it or feel it, but I'm telling you, God never abandons his children. Jesus said, look, you who are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? Now, why did he give us the Holy Spirit? According to the Bible, he gave us the Holy Spirit for two reasons: for the conviction of sin and righteousness, so we know what is right and what is wrong, what is his will versus ours, and to comfort us. The Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter. Now, I talk to a lot of people who would say that they have not gotten a lot of that from God. They haven't gotten a lot of comfort. So if you're God's child, he is not going to abandon you. If your child asks for a loaf of bread, which of you is going to give him a stone? I mean, and you're evil. So how much more will God, who's perfect and loving and kind, give you what you need? Now, as a parent, we all can relate to this. I have children. If my son comes to me and says, Dad, you know, I need something, and he's been disobedient, am I going to walk away from him and say, well, I'm not talking to you. I'm never going to, you just have to do it on your own. I'm done with you because you were disobedient. Forever. I'm done with you forever. Hmm. No, momentarily I might be upset as a human, but I would not abandon my son because his behavior is ill. Mm-hmm. So why would we think God would? When he's perfect and holy. Mm-hmm. And because of the cross, if you're his son or daughter, because of the cross, when he looks at you, what does he see? He sees a wretch, right? No. He sees something beautiful. Mm-hmm. Himself. Mm-hmm. Holy, perfect, glorious. He sees himself. If he saw you, he would have to deal with you. If he saw your sin, he would have to turn away.
Yeah, the scripture says we don't get what we deserve.
That's right. God, because of his great mercy, has given us love and grace instead of punishment. Christ, on the other hand, received the full brunt of our punishment. Mm-hmm. In God's wrath, when he looks at me, he doesn't have any wrath because it's been satisfied in Christ. According to Romans 3, Christ was the propitiation, the satisfaction of his wrath. Okay? That's important to recognize. So if that's the case, why is my life so messed up? Why are these things happening? Well, you ever heard of evil? Mm-hmm. Last I checked, I was still fairly capable of it myself. And I think everyone's capable of that kind of behavior. So God never does evil. Never. But it exists. It's the result of the fall, right? Mm-hmm. Evil exists. People do evil. I've had a lot of evil done to me. I've perpetrated evil on other people. So God doesn't participate in evil, but what God does do, and he's the only one that can do this, and this is how I'm going to help you see that God is in your difficulty. He is not away. God is the only one who is capable of redeeming evil. Joseph is a good example. His brothers threw him into the pit, sold him into slavery. And when Joseph finally revealed himself to him years later, after losing many years of his life in prison, you know, being in a foreign country, not being able to see his family for decades, when he revealed himself to his brothers, what did he say? He said, "Don't be angry with yourselves, for what you intended for evil, God intended for good." Mm. Wow. So Joseph was basically saying, look, what you did was evil, but it doesn't matter because God redeemed it. God redeemed what you intend. In fact, the very thing that God redeemed is he took what you did as evil, and now it's saving your life. Because if you hadn't done that, everybody would be dying right now. Because God used Joseph through the dreams to protect the whole country, storing up food. So if you've had evil in your life, I shouldn't say if, you've had evil in your life. Everybody has. So the only person who can redeem that is God, not you. You can't make it better. That's only God's business via the Holy Spirit.
It's amazing to me, and you get it more than I do, but it really is amazing to me that when a believer gets into a difficult time,
yes,
why don't they run to God? Why do they run away from him? Why don't they run to him?
Because they don't trust him. I'm not going to go to somebody I don't trust. And even if I trust somebody, I might even have a hard time then going. Because being vulnerable, if you've been in a situation where you've been hurt a lot, or you've been victimized, or you've been controlled, or various other things, the last thing you want to do is trust somebody. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is become vulnerable. Because vulnerability equals hurt. So we have an intellectual understanding of who God is and what we should do, but in our heart, our functional reality, the one that really works, I'm going to handle it myself.
One of the hardest things for me to figure out is people who have difficulty is they actually believe God's after them. They actually believe that that God has sent all this into their lives to either correct them or punish them, or it's a result or whatever. Mm-hmm.
They have to learn something. They have to do better.
And right? I think we get mixed up what God allows and what happens. And I mean, does God allow all this to happen?
I believe that God never participates in evil, and there's a ton of evil in this world. So I've perpetrated evil. I don't believe that was God. I think that here's how God here's how God gets involved with evil. God gets involved with evil by redeeming it. I am living proof that God redeems evil.
Okay, but the person who, the saying that we always hear in Christianity, God's in control and nothing happened without him knowing about it.
Right. True.
So how do you interpret that into encouragement when somebody has had the rug pulled out from underneath them?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that if somebody's had a lot of hurt in their lives, they are going to view God through that filter to some degree. So according to Scripture, though, we need to see God for who he is scripturally. We need to see God through the light of truth, not through the light of our experiences. That's really important. Because if you look at God through the light of your experiences, you're not going to see him clearly. If you see him from the, and this is one of my, you know, soapboxes here, is that I believe that we as a church have strayed from teaching clearly who he is. We do a lot of topical stuff, and we talk about a lot of issues, but to really help someone from Scripture actually see who he is really helpful. And I believe it's one of the reasons why I have been successful in counseling, because I want to take somebody back to help them see who God is. And when you, according to Hebrews 12, Romans 12, if you see God, you will be changed. It's not optional. The goal is to see him, not your problems, not all those things. Now, does that mean you ignore that stuff? Absolutely not. Because of your trust in God, who is in over all things, he is capable, he is strong, he can do it. He's got the power. I don't. then I can put my trust in him. Now, this is a day-to-day thing, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. Look, Jesus himself said each day has enough trouble of its own. You can't live in tomorrow, and you can't live in yesterday. We do it all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you do, you're going to ruin today, because God is in the eternal now. He's not in time and space. He's not going to give you help or grace to go through a scenario that you've made up in your mind that's in the future. He's going to give you grace and help for right now, because that's where he's at. He's not down there. He is, ultimately, but he wants you to be present now. So how do you focus on what's happening now with him in the picture? And here's the deal. If you believe that God is upset with you or after you, like you were saying, Perry, how ridiculous is that? If God were after you, don't you think you'd know it? Do you think it's hard for him to find you, to do something to you? God is all powerful. If he were after us, done, well, over.
One of the things that people run up against a lot is, why did this happen? Mm-hmm. What is it in my life that is wrong that would cause me to get cancer, to have mm-hmm. this disabling mm-hmm. Accident or whatever? Right. Why did this happen?
Right. And sometimes it's just the result of the fall. You know, humanity has fallen. The body is not the way it was intended to be. There's, you know, evil in the world. We mistreat ourselves. Other people mistreat us. Things don't work as they should. And so many people do get cancer. Many people do have pain that won't go away. Many people have bodies that are broken. And in the midst of this, you can have an intimacy with God that sustains you. I didn't say takes it away. I said sustains you. And this is it. I think of the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's in the garden. He is, you know, intensely begging God, please, if there's any way, let's find it. Let's do another thing than what I'm about to do, if there's any way. Nonetheless, not what I want, but what you want. So what was God's ultimate answer to Jesus? If we look at history, what we realize is that God said, no, you have to do it. You have to stick to the plan. There's no way out. You're going to have to go through that hardship. And the only gospel that records it is Luke, I believe, that says that, yes, he had to go through that. But in Luke, it says that God sent an angel to comfort him. And I'm like, there is the beauty and the perfection of God. Yes, you have to do this difficult thing. And in the midst of that, I am going to be with you. And that is the key of where I see God. And this is how my intimacy, my relationship, my knowledge of who God is becomes absolutely real. Because in the midst of that turmoil, I know that I know that I know that I know that he sustained me. It wasn't my good recital of scripture. It wasn't my church attendance. It wasn't my prayer. It wasn't my fasting. It wasn't anything I did. It was really God involving himself in a way that I can't even explain.
So what do you tell a person that... they're in this situation. They don't know why they're in this situation. It could be anything. It could be relationship. Could be financial. Could be physical.
Right.
Could be anything. But they're in this situation. What's the first step in getting a hold of the situation?
Mm-hmm. First step for me is I want to explore with somebody. Is it? So how do you see God? What is he like for you? Describe his character to me. And here's what I hear a lot. Well, he's loving and kind. And, you know, he's merciful and gracious. And I'm like, so if that's how he is, why wouldn't you trust him? Well, because if we really explore it a little deeper, I don't really believe that. I know that in my head. I've heard the sermons. I've read the devotionals. I've read the books. I've read the Bible. I know that's what it says. But I don't believe it. I don't own it. And so... then you have to do the hard work then of really then getting into exploring. So why is it that you don't trust? And if somebody comes to me and says that, I'm guaranteeing you mistrust is a part of their entire life. It's not just isolated to God. It happens with people. But most of us who've experienced deep pain, and I think, you know, I don't think there's anybody walking the face of the earth who hasn't. I believe that's the one common denominator among all humanity.
Well,
pain.
Scripture calls it a fellowship.
Yes, of suffering. Right.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. a fellowship of mm-hmm. suffering. Mm-hmm. How do you interpret that?
Well, the way I do it this, look, who are the people in my life that I love the most? The people I laugh with or the people I cry with? The people I love the most, that I'm most connected to, are the people that I've cried with, that have been behind my armor, so to speak. And they know the soft spots, and they know the vulnerabilities that I have, and they know the fears and the anxieties and the weaknesses that I have. And in the midst of knowing those things, they didn't run away, they didn't pound me, they didn't judge me, they didn't take me over, they didn't manipulate me, they didn't control me. They loved me. And that is a small expression of God in my life through those people. God uses that as those people as vehicles. 90% of the people I deal with don't have that. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody who's behind the armor who is trustable. So if I've never...
they're in a church.
Exactly. If I've never encountered a human being that I can trust, actually, with the real stuff of my life, how am I going to trust God? Mm-hmm. What context do I have for it? I don't usually have a context for it. So then my goal is to help them through spending time scripturally looking at, here's the reality. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, what I end up doing is a lot of reteaching, a lot of helping people see things scripturally rather than as it's been filtered through trauma or through a certain religious angle or through a parental situation or whatever. And taking God for his word, at his word. Believing him. The Israelites had to spend 40 years in the desert. Why? Because they wouldn't obey. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't listen because they didn't trust. They wouldn't. Now, you know, we could speculate till the cows come home about why, but the reality is, what we know is they didn't. And they had a visible sign. He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, hello. Mm-hmm. And I used to read those stories and think, man, those people were so stupid. And then God convicted me once and said, yeah, that's just like you. I guess so, because God has revealed himself many times to me in the same way, very real. And then I find myself in the midst of trouble. My knee-jerk reaction is not to run to him. It's to try to take care of it myself as a survivor. And I know there's many people listening out there that relate to this. You're a survivor. You grew up in a dangerous environment. You didn't have everything you needed. You had to survive on your own. Survivors, by nature, cannot trust, cannot be vulnerable. It's against our rules because it would mean that we're not going to survive. Now, who's going to not survive? Survival is like one of the most powerful forces on the face of the earth. People do it every day. So how do you come to a place of submission and trust with God if you don't see who he is? You know, I think of the story of Isaiah 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and it says that he fell down on his face as though dead. And he says, woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips. I mean, I'm from a people of unclean lips. He was basically saying, I'm history now. I've seen God. I see his glory and his perfection, his beauty, and I am completely unworthy. He's going to ice me. He's going to kill me. What did God do? He sent an angel down to the altar, took a coal from it, went over to Isaiah, and seared his lips. And then
purified.
Exactly. And then he said, stand up. I have wiped away all of your guilt and sin forever. So at that moment, with his lips burning, when God said right after that, so who will go for me? Do you think Isaiah was like the kid in the back of the class who hadn't done his homework, who was like, put his head down, don't look over here? Mm-hmm. No. I think after what Isaiah just experienced, he was like on his tippy toes with his hands in the air going, ooh, let me do it, let me do it. Because he realized that what he deserved and what he should have gotten was death. He should have been annihilated by God because of his wickedness and God's perfection. And what did God do? Instead of annihilating him, he purified him, like you said, Perry. He cleansed him, and he said, I want to use you. That is exactly a picture of Christ's salvation of us.
So
we should do it in response, not out of duty. That's my point.
We're talking to Patrick Doyle today, Veritas Counseling, and where is God when basically you don't feel like he's there, so where is he?
Mm-hmm.
And
he's right there.
Veritas Counseling, if you need an appointment, the number is
622-6018.
And
you can check us on the web too.
Okay.
VeritasCounseling.com.
Okay. Veritas, how do you spell that?
V-E-R-I-T-A-S.
Yeah,
Counseling.
Okay. So So often people feel abandoned by God, which is an incredible thing, because you make a good point. You know, is God abandoning the United States? Is God stepping back? What's going on? A lot of this is just consequence of sin playing itself
exactly.
out. I think people need to remember that the stop sign is for everybody, not just Christians. The Ten Commandments weren't written just for believers. They were written for humanity. Right. You break those Big Ten, or one of the Big Ten, sooner or later the consequence comes out. You have to pay the consequence.
Right. I love the proverb that says, "Calamity suddenly and without remedy, calamity overtakes the fool."
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't understand that you keep sowing foolishness, sooner or later you reap it.
That's right. And it's like one of his spiritual laws. It's not something that you have to, you know, activate. It's always there.
Well, sowing and reaping is another principle of God. Mm-hmm. But all of God's laws are in motion. You break them, there's going to be a consequence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only one that we can escape is hell through repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, you deserve the ticket if you run the stop sign.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, which is part of the problem, because we live in this very...
why do we blame God for, you know, we deliberately go out and run the stop sign, then we blame God for the ticket.
Well, that's part of our blame shift fabric, which is to say, I'm not responsible. I mean, Adam and Eve did it. You know, it's that woman you gave me, you know. Yeah. It's like, no, you're going to be cursed because you did the wrong thing. So in God, this is a really important point, is God going to judge you for your sin? The answer is, in Christ, no. He has judged his own son on your behalf and poured all of his wrath out on his own son, so that you are actually free from those consequences. God is not going to punish you. And he did this before you ever knew who he was. Ultimately, he says that he did this before the foundation of the earth was laid, i.e. of Ephesians 1, if you want to check it out. But think about that reality. Why would God spend the energy and the blood and the hurt and the pain and the suffering to save you? And if he would do that, why do you think he'd not be there now? Mm-hmm. Of course he's there now.
It's a great question, because as much as we are nodding our head, when Christ is hit, your off and mine gets flooded with people wanting to know, where's God? Why did God allow this to happen?
Right. And you know, I really believe that, look, none of us have any hope apart from God, if you want to be honest. I don't have the power to control my own life, much less somebody else's. I can try, and God knows I have. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it ends in frustration, because I don't have the power. I am really only a piece of dirt that God breathed life into. That's what the scripture says. So why would I put the outcome of the world on my own shoulders? That is ridiculous. It's ridiculous when you think about it. And I want to read... one scripture here. I know we'll run out of time, but this is one of my favorites.
Do you think praying can influence God?
I think praying influences us. I heard one theologian say, prayer in its most effective form is really just a feedback loop. We go to God honestly with our cares and concerns and issues and hurts and desires. And what we need more than anything is not to tell God, because, hello, he already knows. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. It's not a newsflash to him. What we need is to hear from him, not him hear from us. Because if God speaks to us about those issues, now we have something solid to work with instead of being in the spin of those things. And I've always loved that. My prayer life hopefully is more about me hearing from God and listening than it is me talking. You know, and I love Romans 8, where it says that if you don't know what to pray, don't worry about it. Your sighs and your aching groans, God turns through the Holy Spirit into prayer. I'm like, cool, because that's sometimes all I can do is groan or, you know, sigh. Mm-hmm. And I can't muster anything else up. So Jesus speaking to his disciples, and again, this is out of the Message, Luke 12, Jesus talking, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. How many of you see God as saying, relax? What I'm trying to do is get you to relax and not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. So your goal is not to get. Your goal is to respond to what God is giving you. My big question would be, what is he giving you? And I had a elder in my office a few weeks ago, 25 years a believer, elder in his church. And I read this scripture to him, and I said, so, and by the way, this is a person who struggles with fear and anxiety, but been a believer a long time. And I said, so why, what is it that God is giving that you can respond to? Had no answer. Had no legitimate answer. And I thought to myself, wow, no wonder. How can we respond if we don't know what God is giving? So one question I would ask you in the midst of your turmoil is, what is God giving you? Instead of, what is he not? What should he do? What is he not doing? What is he giving you? And I'm not talking about, oh, he gave me eternal life. No, no, no. Beyond that, what's he giving you right now? How is he, how is his influence in your life? What is there that you can respond to? If the answer to that question is nothing, you have big spiritual issues that need to be dealt with. And that to me is the source of all these other things. If you have an intimacy with God, you can deal with anything. If you don't have that, it's just a Band-Aid on a good day. You can't overcome things through your own will. Willpower, self-will is no match for sin. Read the scripture. There's story after story after story. David's a great example. A great, strong man who was very beaten down by his own sin. God will and has always been right there. All we need do is turn and say, God, look, I don't know where you're at. I can't see you. I can't feel you. Please, I beg you, reveal yourself to me. If you see God, I guarantee you, not the circumstances necessarily, you will be changed. And that is really the issue, because our job here on earth is to become more Christ-like. And remember, the responsibility of that sits in his court, not mine.
Patrick Doyle, Veritas Counseling. The number to his office is 622-6018. Call, make an appointment.
That's right.
And you can go in with all of the confidence in the world that you're going to get pointed towards God.
That's our hope.
What a thought.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go to the source of the healing.
622-6018, Veritas Counseling. Thanks, pal. See you next week.
You bet.